Now understand, in order for you to have these things and you want these desires, know that there is also a spiritual realm happening and occurring in our world that we cannot see. But understand that as the church, we should be addressing these issues within the world, letting our children know that this is not a godly desire. This is not something that God wants for you. This might blow people's mind. You might say, hold up, this is a desire? This is a godly desire? I thought this would be an ungodly desire. Y'all ready for this?
Stop by grace. I know you listen to this right now, you probably saying, why am I here today? But I'm here to tell you that you were stopped by grace, stop in your tracks, stop to let you know that you were made to be somebody. Renew your mind, know who you were called to be. Stop by grace. Listen and learn.
Welcome to an episode of Stop by Grace Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Richard A. Irvin, and I'm so happy to be back. In today's episode, as you can see, a little bit different with the lighting. The lighting, I have a new lighting system that's going around, so I hope it's better quality for you guys. We're getting more stuff prepared and more stuff ready for upcoming things that are going on with the YouTube channel, with the podcast and everything whatsoever of those nature. But today's episode, we are actually talking about godly desires versus ungodly desires. Hope that makes sense. Tongue twister, right? But today's episode is definitely needed in this time once again. As we talked about our last episode, we talked about not compromising our values. And a value in our life is something that you value, something that you think is meaningful. And desires are implied in that as well too. And desires are strong. Desires are something that we as human beings tend to feel a want in our lives. And I think it's so very important in this time that we talk about this. As we start our week, throughout our week, we have these desires. You have goals. You have things you want to accomplish in your week or day. And there's no problem with that. But there are also desires that we have that are not of God. There are desires that we feel in our days that it would continue to ponder on these things. And you know it's wrong, but yet it still occurs. And that is part of human nature. The Bible is very detailed upon these things. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says that the heart is wicked and deceitful. No one can understand the heart. Even though we go through our lives and understand, as me as a pastor personally, we have thoughts, we have desires, we have these things in our mind, we have feelings that we cannot explain. That's what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying the heart, we don't understand how, we cannot explain. Why do we feel this kind of emotions? Why do we feel these kind of things that we know is wrong, but yet we still think them? Yeah, we know it's wrong, but yet we still feel them. And Danny McClarkin, a famous gospel singer, that he came out and said that he had the same sex feelings, attractions. He did not say that he was gay. He did not say that he felt gay. He did not say that he wanted to be gay. He just said that he had feelings for the same sex. And people was outrageous about the statement that he made. The church itself is so against them talking about their feelings and not addressing the feelings and how to deal with your feelings or emotions. We tended to say, let's pray about it. You are possessed by a demon. You continue to feel these desires. You must have a demon within you. You have to have deliverance. And in our day and age, in church, in Christianity, they have this pushing agenda to convince people that they are possessed by a demon just because they feel some type of way. Now, understand, I come from a Pentecostal apostolic background rooted church. I understand that the importance of deliverance in ministry. Don't get me wrong. But I also have a background in teaching. And my apostle was very big on teaching. And one thing we put an emphasis on is telling people that yes, you might do have a spiritual problem, but yet it's also a mental problem and a heart problem and desire problem that you must have too as well. Jesus did deliverance, but yet he still his most ministry, his most impacted ministry that he did in his whole life was teaching. The teaching of the multitude. It was not this deliverance. And we have to understand this is a heart problem. We have to understand that this is a desire problem. Not saying that you will never, never, ever, ever feel these feelings never again. But how do we deal with it? How do we deal with these emotions and desires that we have in our lives? How do we do it? And this is what I'm going to be addressing today, because this is very needed in our church today, in the church today. So, like I said before, desires, in a dictionary definition, a desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. You have a desire to want to have these things. And I'm not going to really list any ungodly desire, because as believers and people, period, we understand what an ungodly desire is. Something that is sinful for believers. For people that are not believers or still working in the faith, something that is not of God, that is an ungodly desire. And Paul addresses these things. And I want to address these things. At the same time, you're going to see what desire, ungodly desire, maybe is not some desire maybe that you don't see that is an ungodly desire. I'm going to be addressing those things as well too. But I don't want to list so many ungodly desires, because we as believers should already know and have a common sense of what an ungodly desire is. And if you're watching this video, you came across this episode, you know what ungodly desire that you might have now that you are dealing with. So that's what we're going to be addressing. So I got to list a couple of godly desires for those who don't know what godly desires are. And it's about five. Here are five desires, godly desires, that every believer should have. Number one, change or growth, transformation. Every believer should have a want to be transformed, to grow in Christ. The Bible tells us that you are no longer an infant drinking on milk. You should have solid food, because the word of God is food for edification of the body, your body, and also the body of Christ. In order for you to grow as a believer, you must have the word of God. This is a must, a godly desire that every believer should have. Number one is growth and change. The reason you are listening to this episode is because you want change. You want transformation. You want to grow. You want these things. And this is what Stop by Grace Ministry, Stop by Grace Podcast is built for, is help people to grow, to edify them, to help them know who they are and who are they called to be. So this is why it's number one for you as a believer to know what desires you should have. And it is to change, to grow, to be transformed. Number four is love, comfort. For those who have not watched my testimony video or watched my episode of my testimony, and for those who are new, don't know my testimony, actually, I had dealt with this a lot in my life. For one, I lost both my parents. My father died at the age of 8. My mother died at the age of 24. So I understand how it feels to feel lonely. And this is a godly desire. This is a godly desire to feel, to have comfort, to want comfort, to want love. Because number one, we as human beings have a void within our heart. We all feel a void within our heart. And the only one that can fulfill that void, to fill that void in our lives, in our heart, is God, Jesus himself. Because in the beginning, if you don't know, God created man for a relationship with him. But since sin entered into the world, man and God was separated. God separated himself from man because of their sin and their sinful desires, meaning God ungodly desires. But God still wanted that relationship with man. So what did he do? He sent his son into the world to die for the sins of the unrighteous so that they could have a relationship with him once again. And that's what it is. We as believers have a relationship with Christ, relationship with God through Jesus. And that's what God's desire is for you, to have a relationship with him. And for you to have a relationship with him, you must have faith in the Lord, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So that is a godly desire. If you have a desire for comfort and love, that's a godly desire. But understand, you have to fulfill that desire in God's way. A godly desire is not just having a desire and fulfilling in a different area, but to fulfill it of how God wants you to. And not just to do anything in the world. That's why comfort and wanting comfort and you feeling lonely, we tend to go towards things that's not of God, like pornography, drugs, alcohol, sex outside of marriage. These things we tend to seek because we want a comforter. We want something to comfort us. We want something that that would help us to cope with that loneliness. But understand that God has a way for all the things that we feel. And this is why godly desires are meant to be fulfilled in God's way. That's the key thing. Our next one I want to tell y'all, another desire. This might blow people's mind. Y'all might say, hold up, this is a desire? This is the godly desire? I thought this would be an ungodly desire. Y'all ready for this? The next one is sex. You might say, what? How is sex a godly desire? Let me tell you. In the beginning, everything goes point back to the beginning. This is like me and my wife podcast, One Flesh Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to that or watched the episode, make sure to watch it. But anyways, sex is actually a godly desire. And the enemy tries to manipulate it and take it away from the church. Sex was created by God. It was meant for us to be fruitful. The word of God says, be fruitful and multiply. God gave us the desire in our heart to have sex, to want sex. But understand, like I said before, a godly desire is meant to be fulfilled in God's way. That means that sex must be fulfilled in God's way in marriage. Sex is made by God. Get that straight. Sex is made by God. Your desire for sex is not wrong, but your desire for sex must be fulfilled in God's way, meaning in marriage. Don't feel like it's bad to have a desire for sex, but we have to know how to deal and cope with these desires and how to manage our minds. And that's why it's very important for us to renew and reprogram our minds to know what to act upon and what not to act upon and how do we react in these kind of situations and desires. And I'm going to talk about those things next on going on this episode. Continue to watch and listen and you will see me talk about it and how to deal with these desires. My last one, marriage. Marriage is a godly desire. You want to be married. Hey, every married person wanted to be married. That's why they got married. That's why I got married, because I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a wife. I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have these things. This is a desire, and it's a godly desire. God's plan was for man to have a union, a family, just like he has a family. He wants us all to have families. And that's what God's desire. It's nothing wrong with you wanting to be married. But understand, like I said before, we must do it in God's way. And also for marriage, you must do it in God's timing. me and my wife talk about this on our podcast episode, on One Flesh Podcast. Like I said before, make sure to listen and watch. And we tend to do things in our own timing. And we go and make this mistake, or you've regretted, or whatever you want to call it. And you end up in a marriage with a person that's unequal to yoke, that you knew you should not be marrying whatsoever. The person is not fit or made for you whatsoever. That woman who was abusive, who was verbally abusive, I don't know, probably physical as well too, but, and she downgraded you, she downplayed you, she talked upon you. The man who was abusive, verbally or physically, who didn't read his word, who was not built for be a leader in the family yet. He was not seeking God. He was not helping you grow as a woman of God. He was not doing these things. That man or woman was not for you. So this is why we have to do it in God's timing, in God's way. And that's why I'm trying to address these things, because change, growth, transformation, love, sex, marriage are all godly desires. And my last one, I didn't even write it down, I just got it downloaded me right here. The last one, other godly desire that the church probably don't really talk about either, and that is success. Success is a godly desire. You might say, what? How is success a godly desire? Now understand, success is feeling accomplished. You are accomplished. And Paul talked about this in one of his passages. He says that he strives for the prize. That means that he's going to a goal. He's reaching for a goal. And his goal is to win the prize of which God called him heavyworthy. Christ called him heavyworthy. He has a goal. And when he reaches that goal, he's success. He's successful. So driving to success is actually a godly desire. Success. You want to be successful. You want to be successful in the Lord. That's not meaning to say the world has its own definition of what success or successful is. And all these lists of things that I just said, from change to growth to transformation, love, sex, marriage, all these things have a twist upon it. Why? Because the enemy is always trying to manipulate and twist and have a counterfeit of what God wants for his people. He changes godly desires into ungodly desires every single time. That's what he does. Sex has its own twist in the world now. We see couples being having babies and having fornication and living together and all these things in life, having a family and all these things, but not having the covenant of God, or the or the relationship is not ordained by God, but yet the world is praising them. This might get some criticism and backlash from people that are not in the faith. Probably get some backlash from people that are in the faith. But understand that as the church, we should be addressing these issues within the world, not criticizing them, not judging them, but letting people know that we do not agree with this act. Letting our children know that this is not a godly desire. This is not something that God wants for you. Yet the world does its own thing, but this is not what God wants for you individually. And we have to teach our children that that is not what God wants for you. That's one thing we have to say, what God wants for you, not what you want. Parents have their own kind of picture of what they have their child in mind of what they wanted to do and everything. But as a parent, we shall be telling our children what God wants for you, not what we want for you. Our desire doesn't matter. It's what God desires for your child that matters. Now understand, in order for you to have these things and you want these desires, know that there is also a spiritual realm happening and occurring in our world that we cannot see. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hold up. Paul is saying these couple things. He says, one, first of all, you're not wrestling against flesh or blood. You're not wrestling against things that are outside the world. Those people are not your enemies. The world is not your enemy. But it's the what? Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of what? This world. You might learn in your Sunday school or church or whatever you grew up in at and said that the devil was in hell. Your demons are in hell. The devil home is in hell. But the word of God doesn't say that. It says of this world, meaning that he's still in the world roaming. The Bible tells us that the devil is like a roaring liar seeking to he may devour. Now understand, I like to tell people this very clearly. The devil is not omnipresent. You want these desires. You want godly desires. You want these things. That's why you watch this video. That's why you listen to this episode. So I'm going to tell you the first way for you to have to build godly desires, or also to break them, because the opposite of what I'm going to say is the opposite of how to break the godly desires also as well too. So it's both go hand in hand. How to break it and how to build the godly desire, it go hand in hand. So I'm answering both questions at once, if that makes sense. Anyways, the first way to do it is to enjoy the Lord's presence and comfort. In Psalms 37, 4 and 5, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thy the desires of thy heart. So he's saying, delight in the Lord. So you delight in the Lord, meaning that delighting means you enjoy, you are happy with God's presence. You are happy and comfortable in God, in his comfort. You are enjoying him. In your morning and your afternoon, you are taking the time to enjoy God's presence, delighting in his word, delighting in him. This is the way you build a desire of God, a godly desire. And this is how you break godly desires. You build a relationship with God. You continue to enjoy his presence. Tend to spend a lot of time with him. You tend to listen. You tend to have attention. You tend to spend fun and happiness and all these things. You're asking, how can I do that with God? Well, prayer, worship, praise, reading your word, going to fellowships with other believers and enjoying the presence of God. These are ways you enjoy and delight in the Lord. Number two, learn God's mind/thoughts. What God wants. This is in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it's saying, God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Simple as that. The way you think, it's not the way God thinks. The what you want is not the what God wants. It's not what God wants. So the key thing, like I just talked about, desiring to have enjoying God's presence and his comfort, and you listen to him, you want to know more about him, and this is how you learn God's thought. You do those things. You go into prayer. You seek in his word. You're reading his word. You are learning what God wants, not what you want. You are learning what God plans for you and not what you want. You are learning what God wants personally and not what you want. So number three goes hand in hand with this as well too. Seeking his desire. Seek his desire. Matthew chapter 6, it says, Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But he says, first, seek first the kingdom of God. One of God's main desires is to have a family, a kingdom. In Romans, in Revelations, it tells us that this world will one day become the kingdom of God, become heaven. God will restore this world and make it his house, his kingdom, and we will dwell with him. We will live here with God. He wants to have a family. And if your desire is matching with God's desire, you are seeking first the kingdom of God. Everything that you do within your life, within your family, within your community, with everything you do within your church, you are driving and striving to help build the kingdom of God. That's what you want. You don't want, oh, I just want to do this to have a good job. I'm just doing whatever I want for myself and for my family and not for anybody else. No, your desire is to please God and do what he wants, not what your desires are. And that's the first thing God said. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the key thing to how to build desires and how to get the desire that you have. The fourth thing is to clothe yourself with the Lord. And that's in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And Paul says, rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't think how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh is what? Ungodly desires. And Paul listed a list of ungodly desires in Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 13, I believe. So you want to know what some ungodly desire is? That's a list of them right there. But here we go. So Paul is telling us, how do we do this? How do we seek godly desires? How do we have godly desires? He said, clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with the Lord. Clothe yourself. What did that even mean, Pastor Rich? How do I clothe myself? That is a key thing. How do I clothe myself? Let me tell you. Talk about this story. It helps to explain how do we clothe ourselves. It's by Frederick Brueger. I think is how you pronounce his name. And it's a story about a man who was born with an awful facial deformity. And I'm going to tell you how the story went. And it helped you to explain. Just listen to the story. And the young man who grew up alone and lonely, when he was reaching adulthood, he decided to move from his town to begin a new life. On his way, they discovered a beautiful man that fit him, making him look handsome. At first, the mask was uncomfortable, and he was afraid that people would find out who he really was. But he continued to wear the mask every day. In his new hometown, he made many friends and felt in love. But one day, a wicked woman from his old home came to his town and discovered this man's true identity. In front of his friends and his fiance, she forced him to remove his mask. When he removed the mask, it revealed a handsome face. His face had conformed to the mask. You're saying, what? So this story is telling us that a man who wore a mask this whole time through his life, he ended up having so much time that he made new friends, and he also got a fiance in the process. But at the end, his face was also handsome. His face conformed to the mask, meaning that it molded his face just as the mask was and revealed him as handsome. What do you think that story is about? Well, becoming like Christ is the same as this. You go on ahead and put on Christ. At first, it feels unnatural. At first, you don't feel comfortable. You don't feel like it's normal. And understand, in this world, it's not normal to be opposite of others. That's why it says godly and ungodly desires. The world has its own kind of definition of desires. But as you continue to wear Christ, just like this young man, as he continued to wear the mask, you put on Christ, and every day you will feel and you will grow to look more like him. That's what it means to clothe yourself in Christ. The more and more you continue to read your word, enjoy his presence, and do these things, you will grow and become more like Christ. The last one of how to grow and to break desires is to set your mind on desires. Set your mind on godly desires. And this is a couple of lists of desires and things that we should want in our lives and how do we do it. Paul says it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I'm going to end it with this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When you set your mind upon these things, the things that we know that is according to God, the things of His word, His desires, you are able to build godly desires. In a future episode video, I'm going to be talking about how to reprogram our minds, how to renew our minds. I think I talk about this in other episodes as well too, but I might address it once again. That's the main thing. If we must set our mind upon these things so that we can be able to retransform our hearts. Because in the beginning, like I said, our hearts are wicked and deceitful. Nobody knows why we think these things and have these kind of desires. But in order for us to transform, to help us to deal with these kind of desires and emotions and feelings and whatever you want to call it, we must do these steps. Enjoy God's presence. Learn God's mind. What did He want for you and what did He want Himself? Seek His desires. Clothe yourself with the Lord and set your mind on godly desires. And the only reason you was able to do that, and the only reason you were able to listen to this, is because you was
stopped by grace.
New episodes are available every Monday on all streaming platforms. Make sure to follow us on Spotify, leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and leave a comment review, and your review can be read on next week's episode. Video version also available on YouTube. Subscribe for more video content. Share this episode so somebody can be encouraged, and follow us on all social media platforms at Stopped by Grace. God bless you.